eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. It can be found on page 1691 in your pew Bible. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
God who gave us Jesus Christ, God who came to live amongst us, we thank you for your incredible gift of your presence. Help us to remember that you were always with us, and that you are lifting us up to spread your good news. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So on the screens right now, you are seeing what many consider to be the holy grail for all runners. The 4-minute mile. And in fact, for many, many years, incredible amount of runners tried to break 4 minutes and failed. Many speculated that the human body was just not capable of running that fast. For many years, the fastest mile stood at 4 minutes and 1.3 seconds. But one windy, rainy day at the University of Oxford track in London in 1954, a medical student who was 25 years old named Roger Bannister cracked the seemingly impossible record, running the mile in 3 minutes and 59.4 seconds. And this is him. And watch, I mean, this is incredible, right? He describes this how he was just like, he was out of his mind that last, and he runs, and everybody's around him because they knew that he was going to do it, and they just lose their mind. He immediately collapses. I love this image. They get in, look at him. He's like, dead. Oh, I did it. I broke 4 minutes. He's trying to breathe, right? And the crazy thing about this, it took decades for this to be accomplished, this incredible feat, 4-minute mile. The crazy thing is, just a month later, some dude named John Landy, who was running in a race, ran faster than Roger Bannister by almost 2 seconds. Broke again the 4-minute mile. And this is a crazy thing. How is it possible that somebody could run a 4-minute mile, something that would take decades to do, and then two runners accomplish it, one right after another? Because now, 4-minute mile, that's not much. People run it all the time. They don't celebrate it. They don't have fanfare. People run 4-minute miles. But how could something that went so long without being broken, all of a sudden being broke by two different people immediately, then the year later, three more people broke it? It could have been the training, right? Roger Bannister was a pioneer in training how to run and all that kind of thing. The right conditions. It could have been better available competition that contributed through this breakthrough. But it seems like Bannister, once he cracked 4 minutes, he expanded the world's idea of what the human body was capable of doing. The impossible suddenly became possible. And this allowed the floodgates to open for others to accomplish what had for years been untouchable. Bannister created the path that now others could follow. So we need trailblazers in this world, don't we? People who open our minds to possibilities that we could never imagine, then allow us to follow in their footsteps to build on what they have done. Think about folks like Chuck Yeager, right, who broke the sound barrier. Nobody thought that was going to happen. Or Amelia Earhart, the first woman ever to fly over the Atlantic alone. Or Neil Armstrong or Steve Jobs. Each of these people have redefined what it means to be human in some way, pushing us beyond our established limitations. So it may be no surprise to you that Jesus built his life and ministry around breaking expectations, pushing humanity beyond what they thought was possible. His unusual birth, his controversial teachings, especially on the Sermon on the Mount, his fraternizing with the poor, the sick, the tax collectors, his death, and his resurrection. All of it forces us to rethink how to live our lives in relationship with God and with one another. His life opened our eyes to a greater understanding of who we are and to whom we should serve. But it is revealed to us God's hope and dreams of who we could be as well through Jesus' life. So when we get to the end of Jesus' time on earth, when we get to this ascension moment, right, our little balloons here, when we get to this moment where we're looking up, oh, Jesus. And Jesus teaches his disciples and goes, all right, you done good. Now you need to go on and do your, you know, do what I did, follow in my footsteps. And he says, okay, see you later. And he gets to fly Superman style. I always imagine he's doing like this. Who knows, right? Who knows? But he goes into the sky, and we imagine, right, that at the end, Jesus' trailblazing is over. Jesus has done what he needed to do. Now it's time for him to go to the right hand of God the Father and be up there in heaven. Yet in this moment, the ascension, something really powerful is happening. Something really powerful is happening. There is a path that is being trailblazed for us. I used to hate to preach this Ascension Sunday. I told Dick this week, I don't like Ascension Sunday. I have a hard time. It's just like, what? Jesus just went into the sky. What is there to preach about? See you, you know, it's just like, that's like I did with the kids. See you, Jesus. Okay. Great. Okay. But it wasn't until really this week that it really dug in deep to the power of this moment. Because we have to remember that Jesus was always fully human and always fully divine into one person, right? And that his resurrected body, though it was a special body, it was still flesh. It still was material, right? And that is the body that is taken up into heaven, thereby establishing a never-ending connection between God and God's creation. That now we have a place in heaven. Our physicalness, God's creation, now has a place in heaven permanently. Spirit and flesh, body and soul, chocolate and peanut butter, together forever in God's heaven, right? Jesus, by making this journey, blazes a path for us, one that will directly link us with God and God's kingdom forever. And it's a path that we ourselves will take. God set it up. Jesus set it up. And we will follow that path. Ascended body and all. Jesus didn't jump out of his body to do this. His body went with him. And this is the power of the ascension. We, the created through Jesus, have a home in God's kingdom forever, God and creation together. So now that I have officially expanded all of your collective minds, congratulations, you've all been expanded, we recognize our responsibility. If someone has good news, you can't help but share it with everyone you encounter. If you crack 4 miles, the 4-minute mile, you probably want to tell somebody. We have a God who cares enough about us broken creatures to become one of us and stay one of us forever. That means God hasn't abandoned us. That means God is here. God is present. And we're called to be witnesses to that truth, pointing out the places where God's presence is among us. So Jesus has blazed the path for us, opening to us the way to a life of faith. Now we, like Roger Bannister, who trained and studied before accomplishing the 4-minute mile, we're walking this path. It's going to be hard work. And it'll require us to have intense focus, humbleness, persistence. But we know that even though through the challenges, the way has been made clear. So keep running. Keep moving forward, because the path Christ has cleared for us. It was several months ago, I went out to meet the pastor at Nelsonville Presbyterian Church. And Nelsonville owns this campsite near Logan. And he has been interested in revitalizing this campsite. And it hasn't been a functional camp for about 20 years. So you can guess what happened to this camp since it has not been used in 20 years. What do y'all think has happened? It is overgrown. It is a real problem. And he's like, I'm going to take you on the 3-hour tour, except he didn't tell us it was a 3-hour tour. He said, Gray, and my buddy from Chillicothe came as well. I want to show you this camp so that in case you ever want to come out here and use it, you guys can do that or help take. And he talked to us about what it was going to take to follow this path, to blaze this trail, to make this camp usable again. And it reminded me of what it takes for us to follow that path, that hard work of following that path that Jesus has laid before us. There will be difficulties. The path is there. It's not 100% clear, but it's there. It's there. There is a path. Work hard to clear that path. Find a way. Because God has prepared it for us. Continue this walk of faith. Keep running. Keep striving. That is your goal as Christians who are following the way. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.